This is the final game here, I guess. Are they not going to make the playoffs?
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com, and you can find me on Twitter, as always, at redrock_bball. We're going to be looking back at a really stupid 14-game day in the NBA for Sunday. There are, of course, no games on Monday, so you're not looking to stream anyone in for Monday. And after that, there's just 2 days left of the NBA regular season. So an abbreviated week in terms of the podcast this week. Only going to be doing a couple of episodes, just take a little bit of time to recharge. And then I'll do some other stuff next week with going back to a relatively regular schedule after that. But only a couple of shows this week. This is one of them. Try and get some information out of what was a pretty wacky and wild day in the NBA, as these portions of the seasons tend to be. Michael Bolton, he's still here. He hasn't gone anywhere.
Let's get to it.
Let's get to it indeed. Before we do, if you are watching this on video, I apologize for the redness of my face. I am the runner for my son's footy team, and it was really hot here on the weekend, so I probably got a little, not probably, I definitely got a little bit sunburned, so I'm a little bit red on the old nose and forehead. And if you don't know what a runner is, for those of you in America, I'm the person who, on the size of an AFL, an Australian rules football ground, which is obviously really big. I'm trying to think how big it actually is. I think it's about 240 yards long, maybe, and about the same, or I mean, 180 to 200 yards wide. That's rough measurements. I go out, the coach stands on the sideline. He tells me a message that he wants me to go out to the players. So I run onto the field. I tell him that message, run back off and do that all day, and obviously get sweaty and burnt as I am now. But let's talk about basketball. Now, you don't want to hear about my running exploits over the weekend. Let's go straight to where we normally do in this podcast.
Monstrous line of the night.
And the monstrous line of the night, he is also the waiver wire line of the night. He is also the deep leaguer of the night, because Ian Clark is rostered in just 1% of Yahoo leagues, and he turned in an absolutely ridiculous performance. 31 points for Clarko. 7 threes, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks. He shot 52% from the field on 21 attempts. He was only 2 of 3 from the line, but this was a really, really strong performance from Clark. Over the last week, he's the 9th-ranked fantasy player. This should give you a great indication of why you should never be playing fantasy at this point of the season, or even DFS. Over the last 2 weeks, a top 100 guy. He is a little bit hit or miss. Now, these block numbers from today, these steal numbers from today, they're not something that he's going to do all that often. But the last 3 games have been strong. 17, 24, and 31 points with 3, 4, and 7 triples. At least 3 assists in those games and 5 steals across those last 3 games. I don't think Frank Jackson's returning at any point this season. So for the Tuesday matchup for Clark against his former team, the Golden State Warriors, again, we talk about it's a big slate. There's 11 games on that Tuesday, and yeah, adding someone off the wire might not fit into your active roster. But when the bloke on the waiver wire could potentially come in and be a top 50 contributor, exactly like Clark was today, then you make room for him. If you need points, you need a threes boost and a guy who's probably going to get 34, 35 minutes and jack up shots and have a real chance for 20 points, you add him. So he does have that option for Tuesday of being that guy that you could add there. Now, he doesn't play that back-to-back, so that does waste one of your ads if you really, you're down at the end of your matchup and how you're trying to sort that out. But I think that with his minutes at the moment, the playing time that he's getting, the scoring that we're seeing from Clark at the moment, it definitely does make sense to at least have a look and see if it makes sense in your matchup and how he fits in with your squad, and whether it's going to be of benefit to you at all. In a lot of cases, I think it will be relatively beneficial just with how he is currently playing and the way that this Pelicans team is running things. Let's look at, we don't have to look at waiver wire or deep leaguer of the night, but let's go to the next one.
Young Gun of the Night.
The Young Gun of the Night. I think this guy's got an absolute ton of these this season. De'Aaron Fox of the Sacramento Kings. 35 minutes for Foxy, who left the prior game early with a foot issue. 35 minutes, 24, 6, and 11 with 3 steals and a block, and shot the ball well. Didn't miss a free throw. Was at 56% from the field as well. It just continues to be really, really strong this year. It hasn't been a great end to his season. There's been a little bit of decline in production. Not massively, but a little bit of a decline. Where he takes that step forward next season in his third year is going to be interesting. You probably think it has to come in efficiency, shooting 46 and 73. If he can get that to 47 and 78, and that free throws is, that's really going to be the key. He's taken his free throw rate massively up this season, which was great, but he's got to then be able to convert these free throws, and that could push him into the top 30. Or if the shooting, which has really tailed off at the second half of the season from the field, if that continues to be a problem, then maybe there's a risk that he is a little bit overdrafted. But Fox has obviously been great this season. He has gone past really anybody's projections for him, considering he was really poor last season, like in a really, really poor, not even marginally poor with how he played last season. So it is good to see him take that step forward this year and really be a massive asset if you were able to grab him at the end of your drafts. Now, today's show is brought to you by our fantastic sponsors over at Wyze. And Wyze is, it's a great product for all you guys to try. And you can do that relatively affordably with just $20 a camera. Wyze is the indoor camera that does it all. It is packed with premium features, allowing you to see everything from anywhere. 1080p, full HD, images so clear you won't miss a thing. Two-way audio, night vision, everything that you want a camera to do, Wyze can do that for you. They have free rolling 14-day cloud storage, no subscription fee either. Wyze is the cam to help you watch whatever you want. Birds in the backyard, pets running around, babysitters at home, the progress of your plants, whatever you want to do. And if you want more, Wyze can help you with that too. With just $10 more, Wyze can give you their Wyze Cam Pan, which giving you 360-degree coverage in under 3 seconds. Life moves fast, so your camera should too. Go to Wyze.com, that's Wyze.com/locked to get the guaranteed lowest price. Wyze.com/locked to get the guaranteed lowest price. All right, let's look at the last award for the day, and that is the dud of the night, Steven Adams of the Oklahoma City Thunder. 27 minutes for Adams here in the win over Minnesota. He fouled out in that time, so that obviously didn't help him. 8 points and 6 rebounds with 0 blocks. Didn't take a free throw, so didn't hurt you in that area. 4 of 5 from the field. Just, it's been a bit of a dip from Adams over the past couple of months, just inside the top 100 over the last 2 months, 97th, 70th over the course of the season. Doesn't block many shots. Free throws have been a real issue. He's a punt free throw sort of a guy only. 50% on 3.6 attempts is obviously really negative. And his free throws have gotten worse in each of the last 3 seasons, much like his teammate Russell Westbrook. He just does what he does. I think his upside is fairly low from a fantasy perspective. I don't see how he ever gets better than this, averaging 14 and 10 this season. Where does he get better? One positive from Adams, I feel like I'm shitting on him, but I'm not. One positive from him, his steal number is really strong as a big man. 1.5 steals is a great number to get there. We thought he was going to start attempting threes this season. That never came to be. Maybe that'll happen next season. Maybe it'll happen the year after, but he didn't really attempt any this season. Did he even attempt one single three this season? That's worth me looking at. He didn't hit one, and he attempted just two. There was a lot of talk about, oh, he's going to start taking corner threes, blah, blah, blah. That obviously never happened with Steve-O Adams. The plus-minus GOATs, Trevion Graham, was a +126.5 as the Brooklyn Nets locked up a playoff spot, while the worst net rating went to Storm and Norman Powell, a -130.7 in the Raptors' win over the Heat, overtime win there. There were 14 games in on the NBA, so lots for us to talk about. Let's get in and start doing the talking with those games. Such a weird day in the league today. The first game we look at is those Toronto Raptors and the Miami Heat. The Raptors win in overtime 117-109. This all but eliminates the Heat from the NBA playoffs, and after the game, they waived Rodney Magruder, which is almost an indication that they are giving up on the playoffs this season. That just is a move to save cap space, to save luxury tax for Magruder. He's a guy that played actually 23 minutes in this game, so you'd think if they had confidence of them getting into the playoffs, they'd want to keep that guy around, but they prioritized saving money rather than pushing for the playoffs. So it feels like it's done. Wade was great, 21-3-5 in 33 minutes. You imagine he's going to get a lot of minutes in his final home game as well, so he's a solid add there. While the Kelly Olynyk minutes rollercoaster continued, 16 minutes for Olynyk, while Jimmy Johnson made us proud with 31 minutes, 18-4-5 with a triple one. This is the Jim Johnson of 2016, of 2017. It's been oh so missing this season. I don't know whether it's here to stay because Spoelstra, yeah, low-key, is one of the most untrustworthy coaches in terms of how minutes get distributed. The Olynyk situation has been a bafflement all season. It also ties into some of the inconsistency with the players because Goran Dragic, 39 minutes for him, 9 points. Like, he had that ridiculous hot streak, and now he's hot and cold every second game. It's really hard to pinpoint what he's going to be doing on a given night. Justice Winslow's shooting is way off, 15 points on 18 shots, but the 7 rebounds, 6 assists, and 2 steals work for Winslow. They're probably both 12-teamers, while Bam Bam Adebayo had 7 and 13.
Bam! 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 Bam!
And just didn't shoot very well at all. For the Raptors, Siakam had 23 and 10. A lot of minutes for these guys. Kawhi played 38. Kyle Lowry played 42. And let's just not brush this under the rug, but Kyle Lowry's Marches and Aprils, in general, are shitful. 5 points in 42 minutes with 9 rebounds, 5 assists, and 3 steals. He's either been hurt or he's sucked in nearly every March or April for the last 5 seasons, Lowry, and he's doing it again now. I don't know why he played 42 minutes. I don't know why Leonard played 38 minutes. I don't know why Gasol played 33. I don't know why Dan Green played 35 minutes or 37 for Siakam. Just a huge amount of playing time for these guys in a game which ultimately is meaningless for this Raptors team, who is pretty much locked into the 2 seed for the playoffs. So I don't really understand what the point of that was, and I would imagine that Gasol and Leonard and Lowry all sit out the Raptors season finale. Storm and Norman Powell had 23 points on 7 of 7 shooting. He hit 4 threes, strong from him. So it's an opportunity for him to be an option if Kawhi does sit out this final game. So he could be a stream guy. While Freddie VanVleet, who'd been playing well, struggled. And Serge Ibaka, similarly, he had been on fire, wasn't here. 12 points in 19 minutes. But if Gasol does sit...
Oh, hi, Mark.
Maybe Ibaka looks to be a stream option in that game. That's going to be so much of the case over these coming last 2 days of the NBA season. Stream your guys in. The Spurs pumped the Cavs pretty comfortably, 112-90. Jakob Poeltl, one of his strongest games, 8-10 with 2 steals and 2 blocks for Poeltl. Unreliable, although the minutes are consistent, his production just isn't. He's more of a stream sort of a guy, while Rudy Gay, really poor, 8-6 in 17 minutes and very, very hard to rely upon in 12-team formats. Derek White, really struggling here to end the season. I still believe in White quite a bit, and I think he can be a top 100 player next season. I think you will only have to take him with the last pick in your draft because people will be very, very cautious about how the return of DeJounte Murray impacts him, plus what's happened here at the end of the season. But I do think that he will be interesting for next season. DeRozan had 14-3-9, Aldridge had 18-13, and Patty Mills dropped in 4 triples for his 14 points. For the Cavs, Larry Nance continues to do it, 11-10-5 with 4 steals. Now, finally, Larry Drew is relying upon Nance. I don't know if Drew coaches this team next season. I don't know what they do with Nance. He should be the guy they're looking to pair with Kevin Love. Now, they did make a decision to start Channing Frye in his last home game before he retires. That's a totally fine move. Kevin Love returned and played only 13 minutes. You wonder what's going to happen to Love in this last game, whether they play him those minutes. But shout out to Frye for getting that playing time. Clarkson was terrible, 2 points in 25 minutes, while the Padawan Colin Sexton inefficiently scored 16 points. At least he had 4 assists and a steal, and 4 assists seems like nothing as a point guard, but for him, it's actually a pretty good improvement. While Ante Zizic had 14-6 with Tristan Thompson resting, I would imagine that Thompson probably does sit out the rest of this season as well. Back to Nance, he can be a top 70 player, no doubt about it. It's all going to come down to whether his coach plays him 23 or 33 minutes. I think that he should be looking at 33. But I'm not the coach of this team, quite clearly. The Oklahoma City Thunder, they get the victory over the Timberwolves. A lot of minutes for these guys as well. 38 for Paul George, 38 for Westbrook, who had another triple-double, 27-10-15. Georgie had 27-6 with 3 steals there as well. While Dennis Schroeder had an efficient 21 points, did nothing else. Colin Sexton would be proud of this line, 21-2-1 with a steal. He's really inconsistent, Schroeder, but he can be that guy. Hey, I need an option here to get me some points. I think Schroeder can be that guy. He's consistently playing more minutes than Terrence Ferguson, who yes, played all right here, but his minutes are way down at the moment, Fergo. With Adams fouling out, Markieff Morris played more minutes. 24 minutes for Morris, 14-6. They should be playing Nerlens Noel over Markieff Morris. There's no excuse for that, in my opinion. Nerlens played only the 12 minutes. For the Wolves, Townsie was excellent, 35-7 with 2 steals and a block, while Wigo continued his strong run of annihilating the Thunder, 24-5-4 with 3 triples. And Dario Saric, finally, Dario puts in a big game, 23 points in 32 minutes, 5 threes and a block. Taj Gibson, probably not going to play again this season, but Šarić hasn't been worth shit until this game. Not a must-roster guy. Tyus Jones was great, 10-5-13. I like him across all formats, while Josh Okogie, only the 8 points, but the defensive stuff's what you love. 2 steals and 3 blocks for Joshy. Really strong on the defensive side of things. Not much else there. Jared Bayless was out with Jared Terrell replacing him in the rotation. Let's look at the next game. It is the Charlotte Hornets and the Detroit Pistons. This is key for Charlotte. They have to keep winning. They have to rely upon some other games to go their way to get into the playoffs. But 104-91 on the road against a faltering Pistons team is huge. And it's coming on the back of a rotation which looks completely foreign to what we saw earlier in the season. Kemba was great, of course, 31-8-7 in 41 minutes. But 24 points out of Frank Kaminsky, who is absolutely a 12-team stream option for points. He's getting a ton of minutes. Bill Hernangómez out of the rotation. I don't think Cody Zeller's coming back. Marvin Williams' season appears done. So there's a lot of minutes there for Frank. Miles Bridges, yeah, filled the box score, 10-5-5, a steal, 2 blocks and 2 threes in 36 minutes. He's not going to be consistent, but he's going to get the minutes. While Dwayne Bacon's an interesting points guy too, 28 minutes for 14 points. Now, previously with Williams out, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist had been starting. He was out of this game for personal reasons. So Nick Batum stepped up. He went scoreless in his 26 minutes. He's just a deep league stream guy. But with Williams out, I think we at least see Batum in the rotation for these final two games. For the Pistons, Blake Griffin was back. He didn't look himself, though. 16-4-4 on 28% shooting. Eesh, yikes. Well, Drummond had 15-23 with 3 blocks. That's really good. The Duke, Wayne Ellington, an elite 3-point stream option. Another 3 triples here for the Duke. 14 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, providing good value. Well, Ish Smith played 29 minutes. Reggie Jackson played 22. Ish had 20 points with 4 assists, but he's just as likely to play just 20 minutes in the next game. While Reggie is really just a stream guy. While the Duck Luke Kennard looked completely off, only 7 points in his 20 minutes. His second half of the season has been relatively disappointing. Next up, the Brooklyn Nets and the Indiana Pacers. The Nets get the victory and lock themselves into a playoff spot. They clinched that spot, which is absolutely fantastic for this franchise. D'Angelo Russell had 26-6. Mokonjo Harris had 19 points, while Trevion Graham, 9-5 in his 20 minutes. But just a quick shout-out to Jared Dudley, who's been amazing for this team down the stretch. 6-4 in 27 minutes, a steal and a block, providing offense, providing defense. Really, really surprisingly good stuff from him. Damari Carroll's losing minutes to Dudley, while Rowdy Rodion's Kuroks is starting, but only playing the minimal minutes. I do believe in Kuroks again, as I've said multiple times, as a big player for next season. LeVert had 18 points in 28 minutes. The Nets could be limiting some of these guys now that they have locked into the playoffs. So, LeVert can be just considered a stream guy. Now, for the Pacers, Miles Turner hurt his ankle early on. He didn't return, and I'd be pretty stunned if he played in the season finale. So that opens up your minutes for the Cock Monster, Kylo Quinn, TJ Leaf in deeper leagues, and, of course, Domantas Sabonis really solidifies his playing time. I'd be pretty surprised if Wesley Matthews and Darren Collison and Bojan Bogdanovic and Thad Young, if they all played regular minutes next game. You would have to imagine with their playoff, there's literally a meaningless game because they are locked into playing the Celtics. You could get a bunch of guys sitting out, and that's going to boost the value of someone like Aaron Holiday, who had 7 assists in this game in 23 minutes. He's been a good assist stream guy of late with injuries to Matthews and Tyreek and Collison, and I think he's going to have that big opportunity in the final game of the season. Edmund Sumner also had some big games earlier this year, and Davon Reed could be a very, very deep league type of guy who did finally get into a game, playing just the 2 minutes in this one. The Dallas Mavericks and the Memphis Grizzlies. The Grizzlies really wanted this victory. They want to make sure they convey that pick to the Celtics this season, and they need to do that by winning. So to lose this in overtime is disappointing, 129-127. The Mavericks were without Maxi Kleber and Luka Doncic, and then they played their bench all of the minutes and limited their starters. Salah Mejri went off 19-9 with 4 blocks for Mejri. Hard to say what his playing time is going to be like, but Dirk didn't play the second half. Kleber was out, and they limited Dwight Powell's minutes. He's an interesting blocks flyer. Well, Trey Burke, whenever Doncic is out, Burke seems to step up. 24 with 5 assists for Burkey. And the burner, Jalen Brunson, had 12-10. But he was one of those starters that saw their minutes limited, just 24. Justin Jackson had 16 points in 19 minutes. Well, Dorian Finney-Smith back from the dead. And any game where Dorian Finney-Smith is taking 19 attempts, you know something's weird. 16-12 for DFS in his 40 minutes, while Dwight Powell played just the 21. And Courtney Lee, who started for Doncic, went scoreless in 17 minutes. For the Grizz, Justin Holiday, a career high this is. 30 points, 6 triples, 2 steals for Holiday. This is back to the Bulls, Justin Holiday. The minutes are going to be there for him for the rest of the year because I don't think we're seeing Mike Conley. I don't think we're seeing Joakim Noah return for this team. While my man, DeLon Wright, told you he's good. Second consecutive triple-double, 20, 13, and 12, a must-roster player. While Bruno Caboclo, who was playing well, inexplicably benched for one game for Julian Washburn, and now he's back playing big minutes. 13, 17, and 4 with a block. He probably is a 12-team league guy. Tyler Dorsey is nothing more than a chucker. 15 with 5 triples on 15 shots. He can be a point streamer, but it's just for deeper leagues. While Ivan Rabb was outplayed by Tyler Zeller. That's how bad he's struggling. 14 and 4 for Rabby, while Zala had 15 and 5. Both of those guys, they're not 12-team options. They can be deeper league sort of guys, and that's probably about it for those players. The Atlanta Hawks and the Milwaukee Bucks. The Hawks get the loss. That's not the way the phrase is normally said. Let's try again. The Bucks get the win, 115-107. Big Alex Len, who'd been really limited. They've been playing him 23-24 minutes. He went off here. 33-8-4 with 6 triples and 2 blocks. 1 of 7 from the line is horrendous, but everything else is great from Lenny. He is worth a look in 12 team as well. Jalen Adams started for Trae Young. Only 5-5-3. He remains just a deep league guy. Bembry had 13-8, but this was a game without the Baptist and without Trae Young. We had Vince Carter play 31 minutes because, of course, while Isaac Humphries made his first NBA start, 6 points in 17 minutes, and Taurean Prince just struggled. He has had a massively disappointing season, and his stock is falling very, very fast at the moment. Fantapants Kevin Huerter also didn't do too much, 9-4-6. For the Bucks, limited minutes for all these guys. I'd be pretty stunned if they played really much at all at the end of the season. 25 minutes for Yanni, 25 for Middleton, 24 for Lopez, 24 for Bledsoe, 27 for Sterlo Brown. Nobody got to 30 minutes, and I think that'll be more of the same as the season rolls on with potentially them not playing again a lot of these starters. So when you're looking at guys to add, you're looking at Paddy Connaughton, Sterlo Brown, DJ Wilson, Georgie Hill even as options, whereas these other players, we just have to check on their status. But Connaughton was okay, 8-4 with a steal and a block. DJ had 10-7 in his 23 minutes. But looking at this box score, with nearly everybody playing 20 minutes with the exception of Bonzi Colson, it's really tough to understand how that rotation is going to play out as we move forward. The next game we look at, the Phoenix Suns and the Houston Rockets. Just a very, very easy victory for the Rockets, 149-113. For the Suns, we'll start off the golf ball, Ray Spalding, who had a start over the weekend and went bananas. Not so much here. 9 points with 4 rebounds and 2 steals, starting in place of Rashawn Holmes. If Holmes is back, Spalding's value really drops. Well, Dragan Bender blocked 7 shots in a game across the weekend. Blocked 0 here, but 19-8, and he's starting to look like he could be an NBA rotation player. McCall Bridges was great as well, 19-6. I really like this guy. I think he can have rest of season value. Well, Joshie Jackson, 12-9-6 with 2 steals is a must-roster 12-team guy. Jamal Crawford really chucking in the points at the moment. Another 27 today in 27 minutes. If you need points, he absolutely has 14-team league value. And the 6 assists don't hurt as well. For the Rockets, much like the Bucks, minutes were reduced all over the place. Jimmy Harden had 30 points in 29 minutes. Eric Gordon nailed 8 triples in his 24 minutes for 26 points. Just limited minutes all over the shop here. And the Rockets have one more game left, and it's against the Thunder. I think they're desperately going to be wanting to win this game, because if they can get that win and other results fall their way, they move into the 2 seed, meaning they don't have to play the Warriors until the conference final. So they, I think, if that game against the Thunder is close, that these Rockets players will remain with their minutes high. So they didn't have to put their foot down here at all. They didn't have to do it against the Knicks the last 2 games, meaning I think against the Thunder in the season finale, you'll see the minutes for those Rockets guys back up at usual D'Antoni level, so they can get that 2 seed if that's a possibility for them, and that will really help their playoff chances. So that is something for us to watch, no doubt. The next game we take a look at, the Orlando Magic beat the Boston Celtics 116-108. This almost solidifies the Magic into the playoffs. Vucevic was great, 25-12 with 2 blocks. Terry Ross, 26 with 5 triples. And Fournier had 24-5 with 3 threes. Aaron Gordon was okay, but my man DJ Augustin is a must-roster guy, 11-7-13. Johnny Isaac copped a smack in the jaw. He didn't return to the game, but he's likely to play in the next one. He disappointed with just the 6 points, but 2 threes, 1 steal, and 1 block. That's really where the value lies in Johnny Isaac. And he can be that specialist type of guy down the stretch of the season. For the Celtics, Jason Tatum apparently entered the game with a bruised shin. He left after 6 minutes. That's a little bit worrisome. I don't know why he bothered playing. I don't know why they played him. A lot of confusing stuff there, but he didn't play. Then Marcus Smart suffered an injury, which looked pretty severe. Adrian Wojnarowski tweeted out that he'd suffered an oblique strain, which is a frightening type injury. A strain in a core muscle could be weeks on the sideline. Brad Stevens in the post-game interview said, no, it's just a bruise. I don't know. I talked with John Corrales about this on Locked On NBA today, and you can go listen to that, download Locked On NBA and listen to me and John talking. I threw out a theory. I think that Brad Stevens is downplaying it, and it's so that, you know, there's still hope that he plays in these first couple of games of the Pacers series, but I wouldn't be stunned if he is out for the next couple of weeks. If it is just a bruise, and that's fine. That's it. He's walking around the locker room fine, but this is all just words from Stevens. I'm still worried about this injury to Marcus Smart, and I think these Celtics guys, Irving, Horford, Smart, Hayward, Tatum, none of them are going to play the season finale. And I think Jaylen Brown, who's been dealing with back injuries, may also sit out. So expect Brad Wanamaker, Terry Rozier, Daniel Tice, Gershon Yabesele, PJ Dozier, RJ Hunter. These are going to be the guys carrying the Celtics because they are locked into the fourth seed. The Pacers in the fifth seed. There is no need for any of these guys, Marcus Morris, to play in this final game for the season. So while we can look at these numbers and go, oh, that's good from Gordon Hayward, he's starting to look good, which he is, he's playing good minutes. These guys aren't playing in that final game. So you're going to be seeing Wanamaker. You're going to be seeing Tice. So I think it's probably the most enticing, pun unintended, add out of that group. Wanamaker can have some value there as well, but it all depends who's in and who's out as to which direction you want to go with streaming those guys in. The Washington Wizards and the New York Knicks, what a matchup this was. The Knicks win 113-110. Tommy Bryant 17-7 in 23 minutes. Beal only played the 23. Satoransky played 32. Just a shit game from Beal, really. 13 points on 17 shots. They don't care at this point in the season. He's going to be limited in minutes. Punch Bob only had 24 minutes as well. And we got 20 minutes from Yan Mahimi. So if you want to know how much this game mattered, Yan Mahimi played 20 minutes. And Devin Robinson, who's a real player, he also played 18 minutes. There was no Jabari Parker. He won't play the rest of this season, is my guess. That's not official. Well, Troy Brown actually put up a pretty good line. 36 minutes for Brownie, 13-8-5. Not a 12-team guy, but can be a 14-16-team league player. For the Knicks, Mario Hezonja, I don't think we're seeing him again this year, but Dennis Smith did return 15 points in 26 minutes as a backup with 5 assists. He could be a help down the stretch here, but big man Mario Hezonja, the fact that they didn't play him nearly all this season is a testament to how piss poor Fizdale is as a coach. 36-5 with 2 steals for Hezonja as he started at point guard. He probably is a must-add guy. Well, the Luke Kornet, the absolute wildest roller coaster in the entire NBA, went back to starting 36 minutes, 17-7 with 4 blocks and 4 threes. As I've said plenty of times, he'll play 2 starts and he'll be out of the rotation, and that happened again so Lance Thomas can come in and play minutes, and then Thomas was a DNP CD at all in this game, didn't play at all. It does not make any sense, and you can rationalize whatever the hell you want about Fizdale. This sort of decision-making is why he is a terrible coach. It makes zero sense in any aspect of anything. No sense at all. Can't justify it. Don't care what you say. Mitchell Robinson, 11-11 with 3 blocks, continues to be really good. While Kevin Knox, the fort, just abuses your percentages. 16-7-5. Did have a triple one, so at least the counting stats were there, but has not been a good rookie year for the fort. The next game we look at, the Clippers, they got blown out by the Warriors, 131-104. The Clippers decided, for some reason in this game, to just start their best players. Montrezl Harrell and Lou Williams, who have Doc Rivers says refused to start all season, started alongside Landry Shamet and Babyneck Wilson Chandler and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I guess because the Rooster and Patrick Beverley were both out, as well as Jermichael Green, who would have been the replacement for Gallinari, Rivers had to change things up. But it's just curious that he did decide to go, we're just going to start this lineup that we just never use at all this season. Williams did what he did. Landry Shamet knocked in 5 threes. He's a streamer for that category. Shai was okay. Babyneck didn't do a huge amount, and he's not a rotation guy. All in all, just a really weird game for this Clippers team. And if they decide to rest guys down the stretch, John Motley's the one to keep an eye on. I think Jerome Robinson potentially as well. But Motley's a guy who literally could have a 20-20 game to end this season, and I wouldn't be surprised. For the Warriors, I don't even know what to say here. DeMarcus Cousins was terrible. I'll say that. 12 points on 15 shots. A lot of early fouls. Pissed and moaned all game. He's going to miss one of these remaining two games for the season. So will Sean Livingston. So will Andre Iguodala, who sat this one out. So you're going to have an opportunity for Jonas Jerebko to step up, for Andrew Boga to step up. And my man Quinn Cook continues to get solid minutes and can be a deeper league stream for points. Curry had 27. No other Golden State player got over 20 points. Draymond just missed the triple-double. 10, 10, and 9 with 5 steals and 3 blocks. That is as Draymond a line as you will get. The next game we had is the Denver Nuggets and the Portland Trailblazers. Lots of talk about what Denver did here. They rested Paul Millsap, Jamal Murray, and Nikola Jokic, and then didn't play any of their other regular starters down the stretch, Gaz Harris and Will Barton. And it looked to me that they were trying to lose the game so they could try and manipulate the standings to how they wanted it to be. It's a curious decision. We'll see how that all pans out for them. It's not like they took guys out of the game, though. Barton and Harris were on the bench. They just never reinserted them. So we saw, again, a weird box score. Mason Plumlee, 10, 11, and 6 with 3 blocks in a start, 32 minutes. Trey Lyles had 15 and 9 in 27. Torrey Craig had 13 and 4 with 3 threes. Now, whether these guys rest, Millsap, Murray, Jokic, whether these guys rest again, it remains to be seen. But that would open up those values for Plumlee and Lyles and Monty Morris, who struggled a little bit here, 9 points and 3 assists. Didn't struggle as much as his backup, Isaiah Thomas, who is absolutely cooked at this point. 10 points with 2 steals on 4 of 14 shooting. I really do worry about what happens with Isaiah next season. Will he get another NBA contract? I have real doubts. I think that he is absolutely cooked at this point, and injuries have really killed him. He was always going to be a steep decline for a 5'6" point guard, however tall he actually is, and the hip injury has rooted him, really. He cannot get back to where he was. I'm really, really doubtful of that. For the Blazers, CJ McCollum made his triumphant return. 25 minutes for CJ, 9, 6, and 6. Shot the ball terribly. I imagine this level of playing time will be what he does through the final two games of the season. That reduced the value of Rocket Rodney Hood, Jake Layman, and Seth Curry, all those guys who were tinkering on the edges of 12-team value have dropped off. The Chief, Al-Farouq Aminu.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.
23-11 for the Chief. That means probably a 4-2 game is coming for him next time, just a streamer. While Lillard had 36-5, and Zachy Collins 6-4 with 2 blocks. Enes Kanter also just gave us the obligatory double-double, but weirdly struggled in both his percentages. Remains a must-roster player. The next game we look at here is the New Orleans Pelicans and the Sacramento Kings. Talked about Ian Clark already, but there were some other big games. Jahlil Okafor, 23-14 with 2 blocks. Julius Randle sat this one out for undisclosed reasons, tanking. Anthony Davis was out again. He won't play again for the Pelicans, pretty clearly. So Okafor is an interesting add. So is Christian Wood, who did start in place of Randle. Wasn't his best game, 14-7 with a block. He's really cooled down after that hot start, while Cheick Diallo played 29 minutes and had 8-11. He's an interesting deeper league guy. Alfred Payton, 26-6-14, a steal and 3 blocks. Just a masterful performance, which really does help at this point. While Kenrick Williams added some nice across-the-board production. Think of it's a Nick Batum type line, 12-5-5 with 2 blocks and 2 threes for old Kenrick. For the Kings, Marvin Bagley came off the bench, had 19-14 with 32 minutes. This is as Bagley a line as you can get. 19-14, 0 assists, 0 steals, 1 block, 44% on 18 shots, and 2 of 4 from the line. This is why I worried about him as a fantasy asset. He's a great rebounder, he can score, but when you can be a negative in assists, low steals, low blocks, poor percentages, it's what always worried me about his overall upside. Now, he can obviously improve all of those things, but we're seeing here, especially down the stretch, that some of those things which plagued his game at Duke and some of the way the translations looked, it's starting to play out on the court at the moment. Bielitsa got hot early and he ended with 15 points, while Cauley Stein, the inconsistency continued. He's gone to the Kelly Olynyk school of where do your minutes go? 9-7 in 19 minutes, not a must-hold guy. While the pencil, Harrison Barnes, Barnesy. 29 points with 4 triples. That's probably good for the next 3 games worth of production for Barnsley to have 29 points there. While Bud Heald struggled a bit, 12 points on 15 shots. And the last game of the night was the Utah Jazz and the LA Lakers. The Lakers win 113-109. No Rubio, no Favors, no Hull Neto, no Kyle Korver. So Thabo Sefolosha started. He brought the heat in the steals department. 5 steals, 3 threes. That's what he does. We don't know about these other guys if they're going to return or not, but Thabo can be be an option there. George Niang also, deeper leagues need to pay attention. A triple one with 16 points. Don Mitchell had 19, while Royce O'Neal started in place of Rubio and had 9, 5, and 3. He's a 16-team league sort of a guy. Grayson Allen couldn't continue the good form that he showed the other day. For the Lakers, Rajon Rondo is out. He has a drop. He won't play again this season. Tyson Chandler, similarly. Alex Caruso's big run continued. 18 points with 11 assists, a must-roster guy. Jamario Jones entered the starting lineup for Rondo. Only 5 points, but 16 boards, 5 assists, 1 steal, and 2 blocks. Probably is a 12-team league, at least consideration. While KCP played 42 minutes, 32, 6, and 6 for Kentavious. He has 12-team league value. We also saw Mike Muscala move into the starting lineup ahead of Flaming Mo Wagner. Probably his best game of the season for Muscala, 16 and 8 with 4 triples and a block. Yeah, really just a deep league stream sort of a guy. While my man Isaac Bonga got some extended minutes, didn't do too much with him. 0 points on 0 of 4 shooting. But it's Caruso, it's Jones, it's Caldwell Pope who really are benefiting here with the Lakers and the injuries and the shuffling of lineups. And again, quick, just make sure you're dropping Rajon Rondo. He won't be playing again this season. That'll do it for today's podcast. Guys, don't forget to check out our sponsor, wise.com/lock, to guarantee you the best price on those $20 cameras. Follow me on Twitter at redrock_Beeble. No show tomorrow, but then I'll be back after Tuesday's games to wrap up what happened there and give you a primer for the last day of the regular season. Subscribe to this podcast on the Himalaya podcast app, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and on Spotify. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Rivers.